You are listening to a recording from Mayo Baptist Church. We invite you to come worship with us, where we strive to love God, love others, and serve the world.
He authored over 50 books. He was very accomplished in the Word of God. He understood the Word of God. One Sunday morning, whenever Dr. Evans was speaking on the virgin birth, all who were in attendance halfway through the sermon became very amazed when he stood before the crowd, opened his Bible to the virgin birth, and began ripping the pages out of his Bible and casting them out into the congregation. He said that if we can't believe in the virgin birth, then there's no longer any reason for it to be in our Bibles, and he began to rip it out and throw it out into the crowd. As the floor was littered with mutilated pages of his Bible, he then said, you know what? If we can't believe in a literal resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then let's rip out all those pages as well. And he began to rip out those pages. And then he goes on and he says, well, let's remove anything from miracles. Let's take away anything that has to do with the supernatural. And before you know it, he had ripped out every page of his Bible except for a few. The Sermon on the Mount. He then looked at the congregation and said, but you know what? If Jesus Christ has no authority in preaching it, then it has no relevance for my life either. And therefore, he ripped it out. And there was left was a leather cover with no pages remaining. He then told the congregation that if we cannot believe what the Word of God says, then why have it at all? He bowed his head and he asked the congregation to pray with him, and someone in the back of the congregation yelled out, no, go on, preach to us the Word of God. And he preached for an hour and a half by memory from the Word of God following that. Dr. Evans was right. We cannot pick and choose from the Bible what we want to believe and what we think is inspired. The Bible is not presented to us as an option with different categories for us to pick and choose what we want to listen to. The Bible is presented to us as whole and authoritative for our entire lives. The Bible was given to us to read, to understand, to follow, and to live out before the people around us. Parents today should be living out the Word of God before their kids, before their children, so that they have a visual understanding of what the gospel is before them. The influence of parents is irreplaceable when it comes to teaching the necessity of the Word of God. Timothy here was a blessed man. He had a grandmother who took the time to teach him the importance of the Word of God. He had a mother who took the time to teach him the Word of God as well. The Apostle Paul began this letter by reminding Timothy back in chapter 1, verse 5, when he said this. He said, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. God had performed a genuine work in Timothy's life through his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Now, I'll remind you, Eunice lived in a very dangerous world at this time. She was a Jewish woman. And she had placed her faith and her trust in Jesus Christ. And not only did she believe in Jesus, but she was teaching about Jesus to her child. A dangerous time that she was living in. Her own community would have saw her as an outcast. Would have saw her as not fitting in. The community would want nothing to do with her today. But you know what? She wasn't worried about being popular. She wasn't worried about being invited to the next get-together. She wasn't worried about any of those things. She was worried about teaching her son the truth in the Word of God. That's what she was worried about. She obviously was a wise and spiritually strong mother, as has been indicated in Scripture. Her priorities were learned to her from Lois, who then passed them along to Timothy. Listen to me today, church. The world around us is pushing values that are meaningless and fleeting. The world around us teaches us that we should try to gain all of the money and possessions that we possibly can. The world around us is teaching us to strive for the top positions in everything. The world around us is trying to tell us that power and fame is the only way to live our lives and to live a happy life. Things that are fleeting, that will fade away. Things that have no eternal value. However, a mother that teaches their children about the things of God are giving them insights to the things that will last them, not for just this world, but for all of eternity. In this letter, 2 Timothy, Paul, writing to the young Timothy here, delivers his testimony of faithfulness to how and now challenges his disciple to do the same thing. He warns him of all that is going on around him in the world, and he reveals to him that Scripture is a strong foundation in which to stand and place your ministry upon. Look with me here. 2 Timothy wants to start reading here in chapter 3, starting in verse 13. The sustaining influence in Timothy's life is traced all the way back to his very early home life. Timothy's mother taught him well. Children, understanding the teachings from our parents is the most important thing that we can have in our lives. I remember things that my parents taught me even today that I reflect on. Now, at the moment, I didn't think they was all that intelligent. As a teenager, you think your parents are the dumbest people on the earth. But when you grow older and you begin to reflect on the things that they taught you, you remember and you think on those things and you realize how wise they truly are. Here, starting in verse 13, notice what Paul writes to the young Timothy here. He says, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." He says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Those that are taught the Word of God early in life grow better in understanding the grace of God more fully in their own lives. And this was important to the Apostle Paul because evil men will grow from bad to worse. The way of sin always slopes downhill. People who are bad oftentimes move to worse if there is no intervention of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like the snowball effect. A small snowball may be start out small. It may be minor. It may just be that little white sin, as though we like to call it, on that top of that hill. But as it begins to roll down the hill, it not only gains in mass, but it gains in speed, and it gains in able of destruction. And by the time it reaches the bottom, its destruction is epic. We must be careful that we remember that evil or that wicked people often go from bad to worse unless there is an intervention of the gospel. Listen to me, children can do the same thing. Many times I even hear people say, well, kids don't actually sin. Oh, but they do. They sin oftenly. They sin a lot. And in fact, in a parent's life, I think that God allows those children to sin to keep the parents humble, to remind them about the grace of God. Because as children sin, if parents don't come along and teach them what is right and teach them about grace and about God, then oftentimes those bad things will snowball and become worse things unless they're corrected at an early age. Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the things that he had been taught all the way back to his childhood, to remember those things and live on them. The word that is translated here in this verse, whom, is a plural word, and it alludes to Timothy's mother and his grandmother. The things that he has been taught, the whom is his mother and grandmother. They taught him the elementary foundational keys for how he is to live his life through the gospel of Jesus. They were responsible for teaching him the things of God. This is something that every parent must make a priority of in their lives. To plant seeds of the gospel in the lives of your children, of your grandchildren, of those who are in your household. Just plant the seeds of Jesus Christ so that they can take root and grow in their lives. The youth of our world needs to hear more about Jesus Christ and less about worldly powers. The faith that Timothy had learned had become convinced of and had come from three main sources in his life: the teaching and the instruction of his Christian mother and grandmother. And it also came from the Apostle Paul's own testimony. And finally, it came from the Word of God. The Word of God is important in everyone's lives. These were very instrumental in building things in Timothy's life to help him to grow from a young man into the man that he would be in God's eyes. Eunice taught her son Scripture starting at a very early age, as we see. And the truth is, for us, if you want your children to have eternal values in an increasingly deceptive world around us, then God's Word gives us two pieces of advice about teaching our kids. First, we should bring them to church. Don't send them to church. Don't give them the option of whether to go to church. Make church a priority in their life and your life. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near." Not only should we bring our kids to church and bring our grandchildren to church, but we should be in church with them, showing them how important it is to be in the house of God and to hear His Word and to be in a fellowship of other believers. Listen, children will only see church as a priority if they see their parents making it a priority. But then also, we need to be teaching them the Word of God and His principles within the household. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 19 says, "You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." The instance here is that we should be teaching our children the Word of God all the time in our lives. Take every opportunity, take every situation, and make it a time to teach the Word of God. Teach them about Jesus Christ. With the way the culture is today, our children have very little chance of learning about the eternal truths of Christian values unless it's done within the home, unless the guardians who are there to teach them. And what you teach them, we must be willing to live out in our own lives. Listen to me, our actions speak much louder than our words. A child that sees their mother or father carry a Bible to church but only open it on Sundays will think that Christianity is only for Sundays, and Monday through Saturday is not. A child that sees their parent as only going to church on Sunday mornings learns that church is about making an opportunity to check a box, and God gets this one day, but all the other days is family days. A child that sees their parent is only going to church when there's nothing else to do learns that God is only important in their lives when nothing else is going on. They grow up seeing that God is an unimportant God and not a necessity for our lives. A child that hears their parents talk about God but do not live it out miss God altogether and grow up being hypocritical of the church and of God. What we teach our children, we must be willing to live out in our own lives. We cannot send our kids to church and say, "You need to be in church every opportunity, but then you stay at home." And we cannot say that you need to live out the Word of God in your life and you need to express the example of God to the people around you, but then you yourself not live out the Word of God in your life. What we teach them, we must be willing to live. But then I want you to notice again in verse 15 that while Timothy's mother and grandmother were teaching him the Word of God, they introduced him to Jesus, the Lord and Savior. Notice in verse 15 he says, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We must understand that the study of Scripture did not save Timothy himself. Even the testimony from his mother or his grandmother and Paul did not save the young Timothy. Salvation came from the reality of one placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Eunice led Timothy to know Jesus Christ. Paul told him about Jesus Christ. Lois taught him the things about the Word of God. But listen to me, it was only whenever Timothy placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ that he was saved. The same is true for us today. Just because you read the Word of God, it will not save you. Just because your parents teach you the Word of God, it does not save you. It is only when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior do you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord. Listen, we are not inherited into the kingdom of God. Because your grandparents were faithful pillars in a church and accepted Jesus Christ as an early age and lived it out in their entire life, it does not mean that you're going to go into heaven upon their coattails. Listen to me. Only those who place their faith and trust and have a personal relationship with Jesus go to heaven. That's it. You must live that out in your own life with your own understanding, with the gospel of Jesus lived out before other people. You must have it a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen to me, the home is the best place to teach your children and lead them to faith in Christ Jesus. Teaching them in the comfort of your home, leading them in your home, and giving them the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The word that is used here, leads, in this verse speaks of anticipation and expectation. When a mother anticipates, prays, and leads their children to Christ, she expects God to save them and to give them that saving faith. And listen to me, we could sit here all day and say, well, that just sounds too simple. If I teach them the Word of God, then I'm going to anticipate and I'm going to expect that God is going to save them. If you're faithful in your teaching, you're faithful in what you're guiding them in, then we can anticipate that God will save them. Because we don't save. We lead to salvation. We teach salvation. But God is the one who saves. Paul tells Timothy, ever since childhood, you've been taught the Word. But it was when you placed your faith in Jesus was when salvation came. But then notice he continues in verse 16. He says all Scripture is inspired by God. Paul points out to Timothy that the Scriptures bring us to salvation and are growing to faith in Jesus Christ. Without Scripture, we would have little significant knowledge of Jesus Christ and who He is. Scripture is a key piece to our growth in Jesus. Paul says to Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. The word that is used for inspired here, it comes to us from two words in the Greek language, theos and neustos. It means God breathed. Literally, when you read the Word of God in the original Greek language, it is saying that all Scripture is breathed to us by God. It's given to us by our Maker for us to listen to read, and to understand, and to apply to our lives. It is God's words given to His people. To say that the Word of God is important would be understating the truth. How we live out our life is determined by the way we read His Word for us in our lives. And listen, it's not optional. We can't say, well, I'm going to believe this part, but not that part. We can't say, well, I'm a New Testament kind of believer, therefore the Old Testament has no relevance for my life. Listen to me, the entire Bible has relevance for your life today. And we are to be teaching it in our homes. We are to be living it out for others to see. But as he continues, he said, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. For every area of Timothy's young and adult life, Scripture was useful. It was a source of doctrine. It was a source of teaching. It was a source of faith and strength in his salvation. It was his source that should also be our source as well. All of our teaching must be grounded in the Word of God. You know how to make sure that you're never teaching false doctrines to your children? Make sure it's coming from the Word of God. Not from devotions. Not from extra biblical writings. Make sure it's coming from the Word of God. Teach your children the words of God, His breathed out word given to us that makes it profitable for reproof and rebuking us in our sin. It's not only does Scripture teach us and train us, but it also rebukes us by revealing areas of our lives that need to be changed. It is like an athlete that at a very early age was always better than everyone else, because as they matured earlier than everybody else, they grew quicker, they were stronger, bigger, faster, and they always excelled during that time. But listen to me, eventually the other children catch up to this athlete, and this athlete that never trained to get better or harder, just always relied on his natural ability. At some point, the other kids who work hard end up catching up to that other athlete and sometimes even overtake them because they didn't work hard. I like the sporting quote that says this: do what others want today so that you can do what others can't tomorrow. And listen to me, that doesn't just apply to sports. It applies to the Word of God. Do what others want today. Teach your children the Word of God so that you can do what others can't tomorrow. See your children grow in the graces of God. It applies to our spiritual life. It applies to every part of our lives if we're willing to teach the Word of God. And listen, we don't always like to be confronted with what needs to change in our lives. We like to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But listen, God's Word, when studied and applied appropriately, will leave us in a different stage than when we came to it. God's Word changes lives. God's Word gives foundational purposes to your children's lives that they will grow on and grow in as they mature. All Scripture is profitable for our lives. Mothers, fathers, don't allow the world and the popular culture teach and train your children. Be active in teaching them the things of God. Be active in teaching them the Word of God. You set their lives in motion towards spiritual things. You assist them in giving them instruction for things in their life through the Word of God. And you practice what you preach to them and live it out for them to see. A service for your children that will have eternal benefits. Parents today focus so much on the things of this world. Be the best athlete you can be. Gain the most money you can. Get the best job. Do this, do that. All these worldly things that one day will no longer be. Because one day when Jesus Christ returns to this world and He takes His people home, this world will be no more. All things will be burnt up in a moment's notice. When Jesus returns to set up His new kingdom and His new earth, listen to me, all the things of this world will all be gone. All that hard work, all those things we tried so hard to accumulate will be nothing. But listen, one thing will remain, and that's Jesus. Teach your children the things that will not only last a lifetime, but will last for all of eternity. Teach them about Jesus Christ. And children, honor your mothers here today by hearing the Word of God from them and applying it to your lives, even at an early age. Some of you children may be here and you're thinking, well, I'm so young. I don't quite understand everything. I'm early on in my childhood. There's no way that I can understand it all. The principles, the things that you learn today, even as small children, will last you a lifetime. And parents, live those things out for them to see. For some of you here today, maybe your mother didn't teach you the things of God. You say, well, Brother Rick, I came to faith in my own. I have children now, and I'm doing the best that I can, but I have that example that was before me that taught me the Word of God, then I'm going to tell you to change the paradigm in your family. Change your family tree in such a way that from then, even if you didn't have faith before, you have faith now, and start a legacy of teaching the Word of God. Listen to me, I grew up in a family that was lost. My entire childhood was a childhood that I can look back and see sinful things all through it. Sin after sin after sin. My parents were lost. My grandparents were lost. Both sides of my family were all lost. Every single one of them. It wasn't till later when I met Karen and we got married that I received Jesus Christ into my life and I was saved. But let me tell you what God did through that. Is that since then, my parents have came to know Jesus Christ. My sister has came to know Jesus Christ. My brother has came to know Jesus Christ. My grandparents came to know Jesus Christ. A paradigm shift happened in our family. Why? Because one person taught me about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God saved me and changed an entire legacy of an entire family. And listen to me, it can happen in your life as well. If you are faithful to teach the gospel, to teach Jesus Christ, and make a change in your life, that it will spread throughout your entire family and change. Maybe you had a sinful childhood, but that's not who you are today. Come to receive Jesus Christ today and change and make a new history for your life. Mothers, teach your children the Word of God. Fathers, teach your children the Word of God. Why? Because it's things that will last them all of eternity.